So reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Ancha Lila, chapter 6, text 232. Translation. I do not know my duty or the goal of my life. Therefore, please personally give me instructions from your transcendental mouth. There's no purport to this, but I'll just put it in context. So this is Raghunath Das Goswami speaking. In fact, this chapter 6, is entitled The Meeting of Raghunath Das Goswami with the Lord, with Lord Chaitanya. So what's happened so far is that Raghunath Das has escaped from the clutches of his family, who were intent on keeping him. His parents were Vaishnavs, Govinda Majumdar, that was his father, right? What does Majumdar mean? Does anyone know? Majumdar. Does it mean like businessman or something? Landowner. Yeah, there's a they were landlords, right? They were very wealthy. And he lived in the lap of luxury. And he had a very beautiful wife and everything. But he was completely attracted to Lord Chaitanya. And he didn't want to stay at home at all. And he attempted to escape on several occasions, but he was always captured and brought back. And finally, he figured out a way that he could actually escape. And so he managed that. And then he just came on foot quite some distance to meet Lord Chaitanya. In Jagannath Puri, wasn't it? I think it was, yeah. And when he finally arrived, he began to live like a mendicant. He had some money, but he was inclined to be more and more renounced. So if you read this chapter, you'll see how he goes through these different stages of renunciation. First of all, spending some money, then begging from the charity booth around the temple of Lord Jagannath for the sadhus. There are booths where you can get prasadam. So he would take some from there. And after a while, he didn't like that arrangement, and he stood at the lion gate, Singhadwara, and he would beg there. And even that, in the end, he felt was not good. And actually, as I was reading through this section, what went through his head was, first he felt, well, I'm something like a prostitute. I'm, you know, thinking this one will give, that one won't. It reminded me of my days on Sankirtan a bit, I have to say, when you'd like eye people up as they're walking down the street. And, yeah, he looks like a soft touch. And this one, he looks like a slow. We used to say crazy things like that. I'd run up and try and catch him. So he didn't like that mentality. And also he was concerned about accepting charity from materialistic persons. And interestingly, and I'm not going to go into it today, because I was going to talk about something else, but in that little section, there are several purports where Srila Prabhupada talks about not accepting gifts from materialistic persons. And it flummoxed me somewhat, because we do that all the time. And we don't have any concern, like if we're out collecting on the street, we don't ask the person, excuse me, sir, can you tell me your credentials before I take this money? Are you a sinful wretch? Because if you are, I'm not going to take it. We know, first of all, everyone is indeed a sinful wretch. But that doesn't prevent us from taking their Lakshmi. And you might say, well, because we engage it in the service of the Lord. But actually, I'm sorry I didn't put the purport up for you to see, but actually Prabhupada does even say that we can take money, even if we take money from materialistic persons and use it to make offerings to the deity and offer prasadam to the Vaishnavas, that is also not good. And I'm only going to speak very briefly on that, because I prefer to have Prabhupada's words actually present when we discuss it, but I'll mention it because it's in this section and I'm skipping over it, and it's about Raghunath Das Goswami. But my thoughts on it were that there are different levels. Prabhupada's books are addressing us at different levels of advancement, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. And it's meant for a higher level of consciousness. And, you know, what may be inappropriate for a pure devotee, because he mentions pure devotees will not accept gifts from materialistic persons. But, you know, there's others, like for myself, you know, there's no question of me becoming contaminated by taking gifts from anyone, because I can't, I'm already on the lowest platform, so it's not going to affect me in the least. But it'll probably elevate me. But the those who are very advanced, it's a factor that they should consider. So anyway, I would advise that you do your own reading of that section. And see for yourself. But I'm going to move on a bit. So Raghunath Das Goswami, at this point, he is speaking, of course, with Lord Chaitanya. And he says, I don't know why I've given up family life. Why have I renounced? You know, what am I supposed to do now? You know, he just followed his heart. He was just so enamored of Lord Chaitanya. He said, I've got to escape. I've got to get out of here. You know, he just got loose and just ran on foot, you know, just didn't care. For 12 days, he didn't eat. He just hardly ate anything, just a little bit of fried grains, whatever he could get hold of, hardly anything. He was practically fasting the whole time. His just mind was intent. I must see the Lord. I must see Lord Chaitanya. But then when he got there, he thought, what have I done? Why have I done this? You know, I don't know why I've given up my family life. You know, what's my duty now? And this is what he's asking Lord Chaitanya. I do not know my duty or the goal of my life. Please instruct me. So then the Lord, he says to him smilingly that I have already appointed Sir Damodar Goswami as your instructor. So there'd already been some interaction, and he placed him in the care of Sarup. And at that he said, now I have three Raghunaths in my entourage, in my association. Raghunath Bhatta, and Raghunath Vaidya, I think, and this one, Sarupera Raghunath. Raghunath who belongs to Sarup Damodar. So Sarup Damodar was his mentor and his guru. And so you may learn from him your duty and how to discharge it. I do not know as much as he. So Lord Chaitanya telling him, yeah, he'll instruct you, but, he said, but if you want to hear some instructions from me, I'll tell you a few things. Nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duties from the following words. So he speaks these very famous instructions, which are really meant for the renounced order of life, because Raghunath Das evinces that renunciation. He is the exemplar of renunciation. He's an incredible personality. It's just unbelievable. You know, his level of renunciation is absolutely impossible for us to even think about, for anyone, really. But, you know, even the other Goswamis, like Prabhupada writes that, it's stated by Kaviraj Goswami that the Lord instructed the other Goswamis to preach, but the main thing for Raghunath Das was to show the example of renunciation, which he did to an extreme level, which is not possible for anyone. So he gives him instructions about that, about renunciation. So the first thing, gramya kata na shunibe. Don't speak gramya kata. So gramya kata is, of course, village talk, gramya. Or hear what they say. So don't, you know, asatanga, don't any kind of talk about anything other than Krishna is classified as gramya kata. So don't speak like that. Don't eat palatable food. Balanakaibe. So sannyasis are supposed to eat very, very simply and not eat anything delicious. Nor should you dress very nicely, and also clothing. So he mentioned that. And the last thing, well, not quite the last thing, this, do not expect honor. Why does this internet services screen keep coming up? They've got to do something about that. You can't see it, but it just constantly comes up here. So do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So, Amani Manada Hana Krishna Nam Sada Labe. Always chant. So these instructions are, we can do. The final one is something I can't really comment on. I don't know anything about Raghunuga Bhakti. And, you know, meditating on the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. But he gave him that instruction. Of course, that was appropriate for Raghunath. And as I say, this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So perhaps when we get to the Antya Leela, which is the very end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we've systematically gone through the Gita and the Bhagavatam, which I've calculated will take me a number of lifetimes, we may arrive at this point of being able to meditate on the Astakavya Leelas, on the Lord's Vrindavan pastimes. So there's a purport here. If you want to read it with me, my wife suggested actually that a good idea. When we read these, I was going to get people to read it, but it's just a bit of a trip with the microphone. But we can all read it together, and in that way we do congregational chanting. So I'll just read it. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur says in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya that when a man and woman are married, they beget children and are thus entangled in family life. Talk concerning such family life is called Gramyakata. A person in the renounced order never indulges in either hearing or talking about such subjects. He should not eat palatable dishes, since that is unfit for a person in the renounced order. He should show all respect to others, but should not expect respect for himself. In this way, one should chant the holy name of the Lord and think of how to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is a commentary from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's commenting on this verse. Of course, when we're married and in household life, we have to speak about so many things which aren't always related to Krishna. We try to relate them as much as possible, but inevitably there are so many things, mundane affairs that have to be dealt with. But when we renounce, when that day arrives, should it arrive, then in the renounced order, that is given up entirely. No further discussions on such matters, and no further tasting of tasty dishes. Show all respect to others and not expect any respect for himself. This is an important instruction also, it's difficult, especially as sannyasis, of course, because, you know, as you, if any of you have walked down an ISKCON corridor with a sannyasi, and you've seen that people just dropping to the floor as you walk, yes, that's very appropriate. But for the sannyasi, it's difficult. So this is, you know, how to do this. Dasso smi, that mentality of being the servant of the servant yourself. And not expecting any respect must be cultivated. So, and then the last thing the Lord said to Raghunath Das Goswami in his instructions was this: Trinadapi sunichena taro eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kitanyasa dahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. You can say it. Thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, this is, of course, from the Shikshastak prayers. Interestingly, it appears chronologically in the book before the Shikshastak prayers. But that's okay, because they're obviously eternal. And the Lord spoke this to Raghunath Das Goswami. And it's such an important verse. Kaviraj Goswami tells us that we should hang this around our neck. That always remember this verse, because it is the key to chanting Hare Krishna always. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. There's no purport. This verse appears several times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Prabhupada never writes a purport to it, but he does comment on this verse in some places. So here is a commentary on that. We can read this too. This is the same one, sorry. I've gone. All right, there we go. This is it. When Lord Chaitanya declares Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Va Sahishnuna, he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. When one thoroughly understands that he is not the material body, but a spiritual soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower castes, for he is spiritually elevated. Such humility, in which one thinks himself lower than the grass, is called sunichatva, and being more tolerant than a tree is called sahishnutva, forbearance. Being situated in devotional service, not caring for the material conception of life, is called amanitva, indifference to material respect. Yet a devotee thus situated is called manada, for he is prepared to give honor to others without hesitation. So this is from the purport of Adi Leela 1744. So I found this interesting. Prabhupada says that he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life when he speaks this verse, Tridadapi Sunichena. So what is the material conception? Of course, it's to think, I am this body, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor of everything. We place ourselves in competition with Krishna. Krishna declares himself to be all of these things. Bhaktaram yakatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. And the friend, suridam sarva bhutanam, of all living beings. So when we're in the material bodily conception of life, we think ourselves to be these things. And I found it interesting because we're talking about renunciation, about the renunciation of Raghunath Das Thakur. And I was thinking that, you know, we can give up stuff. It's difficult to give up things and to give up eating, to give up sleeping, to give up possessions. But really, renunciation means to give up the idea, that the conception that I am the enjoyer, that I am the possessor of things, to give up the material mentality. This is actual renunciation. It's not so much. Of course it is. I mean, it does become external as well. Like Raghunath Das, ultimately, it's described how he was only sleeping for 1 or 2 hours. He wrote many books, actually. He wrote many poems and different things, beautiful literatures. So he was always engaged in service to the Lord, and he was worshipping Giri Govardhan. So he didn't have much time. It's funny because devotees, they don't have any jobs. They're not trying to earn a living. They're not householders. Of course, such personalities, great renounced personalities, but they're so busy all the time. You know, it's Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, it's the same was said of them, that they would sleep only a couple of hours. Sometimes that wasn't possible. Why wasn't it possible? You know, they didn't have anything to do. They didn't have any responsibilities, because they felt this urgent need to transmit the message of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, to us, to the fallen souls, because their hearts were so soft, so compassionate. This is a feature of personalities like Raghunath Das, of the Goswamis, that they're thinking, how can I save the poor people? They themselves don't have any misery, don't have any sufferings, like Prabhupada. You know, he was completely happy and satisfied and peaceful and blissful in Vrindavan, but still he set out on this voyage to the West. You know, it's a very difficult journey at the age of 70. Those of us approaching that age can now understand what a task that was, how phenomenal. So, because they're impelled by their need, by their sense of compassion and mercy to help others. So Raghunath Das was like that. It's described his external renunciation was such that he would only sleep a couple of hours. He would hardly eat anything. He was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's impossible for us. Don't even try to imitate that kind of renunciation. But we must try to get the mentality of renunciation, of not thinking ourselves to be the enjoyer, the proprietor, the controller. Actually, you know, we to give up, what do we have to give up? And Prabhupada gave a very nice example that we don't even own anything. It's like, you know, the only thing we have to give up is the idea that we possess anything in the first place, because everything belongs to God. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant example of, you know, walking into a bank, walking into Fort Knox, if you could somehow get in there or somewhere, and saying, I renounce all this gold. From this day, I will not spend any of this money. And it's like, you fool, you don't own any of the money. It's not yours to spend in the first place. So renunciation means to give that up. And to give up the idea that we are independent, that we are capable of doing anything without God's grace, because we're not. We can't do anything. I had a realization of that yesterday or the day before. I'd been working continuously at writing and editing and things like that, and I just ran out of mental steam completely. I was just sitting there completely unable to think, and I couldn't remember anything. And I said, what do I do now? I was sitting in a chair, and I didn't know what to do, because my memory had stopped. And I just realized at that point, well, actually, I'm helpless. Krishna says, Matak Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha, that from me comes memory, knowledge, remembrance. You know, so, and I was then praying to the Lord, what should I do now? I can't think. I can't remember anything. I was getting quite anxious, actually. And then when it started to come back, ah, yes, you have to eat. You have to sleep. Of course. So then I began to mobilize myself for these important tasks at hand. Realizing that we're not independent is part of the program of Krishna consciousness. And it's actual renunciation means to give up these conceptions of being the enjoyer, the controller, and having any independence. The Lord wants us to depend on Him completely. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a dad, and I've got three children, and thankfully now they're coming out of that dependent stage, almost. I wonder if it'll ever happen, actually, but kind of getting there. But you know, when they're very young, they fully depend on you, and okay, out of love, you don't mind it, and as you get a bit older, you find it a bit more onerous. You know, you become a bit more cantankerous in your old age and more less tolerant, and should be becoming more tolerant. And I'm thinking, what's going wrong? You know, But anyway, you know, you love them, so you'll do what they want. But it's a problem for us. You know, we don't want people to depend on us. When people depend on us, it's pressure. And we prefer not to have that pressure, but Krishna wants that. We're meant for that, actually. We're meant to depend on, and when we fully depend on Him, He fully reciprocates with us, and He's there for us completely, and He takes care of us in every possible way, because actually that's our position. We're meant to be like that, fully, always fully depending on Krishna. So these are the points of renunciation that I understood, you know, when, and Prabhupada speaks about that here in this verse, that we should give up the material conception of life. I've moved it on, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a bit more about that is in this next purport here. And this is in the Bhagavad Gita, where he talks about being humble. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. You can join in if you like. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not hanker after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So this is the Amanit Bha Dambit Bha Himsak, that verse, verses in the Gita. Items of knowledge, these should be developing as we progress in spiritual life. Prabhupada is telling us that if we want to see how we're doing in spiritual life, then this is the analysis that we can apply in this section of the Gita. And the first thing, amanitva, dambitva, amanena, manadena, amanitva means humility. So it all begins with that, in fact. We must become humble. Lower than the straw in the street, amanitva. So straw is very low, and everyone walks on it. So devotees like that. You know, my wife and I were discussing this recently, pondering on what this actually means. Because, on the one hand, you know, we don't have low self-esteem. We don't think, oh, I'm such a wretch. I'm horrible. I'm not worthy to be alive. I'm useless. You know, but at the same time, a devotee kind of thinks like that. You know, he doesn't. You know, he doesn't have what you call low self-esteem. And like Prabhupada would walk with his head held high. You know, and he wasn't like a shrinking violet at all. I mean, you know, he would smash scientists and, you know, different atheists and things like that. He didn't, you know, his demeanor was not a person who, you know, is like, I'm such a horrible person, don't come near me, you know. But we do see that sometimes with devotees, that they have this, mentality of being, feeling that way. I'm lower than a worm in stall. So, amanitva, that's their mentality. And what does that mean? This is something that we can really meditate on. And I think it comes back to this idea of being dependent, of realizing, well, actually, I don't have any independent power. Just going back to that last purport, that Prabhupada says, when one thoroughly understands he's not the material body, but a spiritual soul, he's even humbler than a man of the lower castes, for he is spiritually elevated. So I was wondering what that meant, you know, lower than a man of the lower caste, humbler than a man of the lower castes. And a man of the lower castes is obliged to be humble, especially in India these days, where, or any time, they get treated so abominably. The Dalits, so-called, are treated in such a disgusting way. and you know, the shadow touches me, I'm going to take a bath or something. So that, you know, they're forced to be humble. But when someone knows he's not the body, he realizes I'm part of God. I'm actually fully dependent on him. I'm a spiritual part. I'm tiny. Actually, Prabhupada writes in one purport in this respect that, if you say, how can you feel you're lower than the straw in the street? Well, I know. Because I'm 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. I'm a soul. Tiny particle of spirit. So I am actually small. Lower than grass. But the mentality is also that I have no power. I have no intelligence. I don't have any memory even. If Krishna takes my memory away, I'm just sitting there like a vegetable, not knowing what to do next, which way to turn. You know, if he takes my intelligence away, which he can, I'm very proud of my power. So I can do so many things, but if suddenly we become paralyzed, like that poor gentleman who used to play Superman, Christopher Reeves, you know, he became paralyzed from the neck down. He was such a powerful man. He was well built and everything. And, you know, he lost it. He fell off a horse, became paralyzed. So that can happen instantly to anyone at any time. So that's our humility. That's our realization. But we also know that Krishna is actually the most powerful, the greatest. And if he wants, he can do anything. You know, a lame man can climb mountains, a blind man can see the stars, you know, and a dumb man can recite beautiful poetry, because if Krishna wants, anything can be done. So this is our humility and our recognition of our position, amanitva, manadena, sahishnutva, more tolerant than a tree. So really, I'm thinking about this in terms of the renunciation, because you know, this mood is the mood of renunciation, of giving up the material mentality. More tolerant than a tree means that, you know, the Prabhupada says, perfect example. A tree, you can come and chop its branches off. You can do anything to the tree and it won't protest. Of course it won't. Can't. But still, this is the, we should be like that, you know, that even if someone abuses us, even if the Prabhupada says, if someone rebukes us or chastises us, we don't say a word. You know, we say, who the hell do you think you are? You know, calling me the, you know, fight back. But the devotee doesn't do that. He doesn't respond at all. Because it's giving up the material mentality. This is actual renunciation. I wanted to just have a look at one or two verses from the Gita just to show what is renunciation? And Krishna describes that in the Bhagavad Gita in response to Arjuna's question when he asks him, please explain tyag and sannyas. So he explains, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha kamyanam kamanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu sarvakama palatyagam prahustyagam vichakshana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation. I'm still trying to figure out the difference between those two things, but there is some difference there. So first of all, not working, not acting in a way impelled by material desire, the material conception of life. This is renunciation. And this is what the Lord was instructing to Raghunath Das Goswami, that, you know, you give up this idea of being the enjoyer in any way. So the great learned men, the Kavayo, they say that this is sannyas vidu. So, and not desiring the results of work. So we act only for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever we do, the result is for him, not for us. So, kamanyevadikarasti mapaleshu kadacha. We give up the pala, the fruit. And here's two, sarvakama pala tyagam. We give it up. We renounce that. So, that means that we use everything in Krishna's service. To give up the fruits of work means to engage it in the service of the Lord. Actually, twice he says this, again in, or previously in the sixth chapter also. One unattached to the fruits of his work, who works as he is obligated, is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic. So for most of us, we will not be taking sannyas. Actually, it's unlikely in this day and age. Very few people will accept. But that's okay. Because actual sannyas means this. It's not that externally we need necessarily adopt the order, the cloth, the vesh, carry the stick. But within ourselves, we carry the mood of renunciation. And this is it, unattached to the fruits of work. Prabhupada describes that in the purport. A Krishna-conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criterion of success is satisfying Krishna, and thus he is the perfect sannyasi, or the perfect yogi. Lord Chaitanya, the highest perfectional symbol of renunciation, prays in this way: Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam ba jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti aitki twai. Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor to enjoy beautiful women. Nor do I want any number of followers. What I want only is the causeless mercy of your devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So, I'm going to have to stop. I'm running out of time. This is such a big subject. We talk about Raghunath Das Goswami and his renunciation. We could go on all day. It's such a wonderful thing. Yeah, just this is the mood, and he evinced that in the most perfect possible way by showing externally complete renunciation. So our aspiration should be to develop that mentality, to become fully dedicated to the service of Krishna, to give up everything. The last thing I wanted to say really is... how to do that. In the material conception, this is from the first canto, again, one falsely thinks he's the Lord of all he surveys. So he's always troubled by the threefold miseries of life as a result of the material conception. But when he becomes free of that, when he realizes his position as Krishna's servant, he becomes free of misery. So it's understanding this. This is the key. How do we give it up? By realizing, by first of all becoming intelligent, buddhi yoga, that understanding, as long as I maintain this mentality of being the enjoyer, of trying to control everything, I'm in anxiety actually. I'm suffering. I'm miserable. Because I'm not the controller. As hard as I try to get everything in place and organized and the way I want it to be, it's not going to happen because you're not in charge of this world. And as hard as you try to enjoy this world, you're going to be frustrated. Because you'll never be satisfied. Because you're not a material being. So material enjoyment cannot satisfy you. So you're going to be frustrated and suffering and in competition with others. And thus experiencing friends and enemies and that kind of misery. So we need to understand this. How can we understand this? And this is my last quotation. By hearing. By hearing, regularly hearing. Prabhupada says this in a letter. Your first job, and this is actually to a GBC, and this is in 1972. Your first job should be to make sure that every one of your devotees in your zone of management is regularly reading our literatures and discussing the subject matter seriously from different angles of seeing, and that they are somehow or other absorbing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness philosophy. If they are fully educated in our philosophy, and if they can get all of the knowledge and study it from every viewpoint, then very easily they will perform tapasya or renunciation. And that will be their advancement in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada's point is that we should hear, and I understand, we should thoroughly absorb from different angles, try to study, regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Renunciation will come as a natural consequence. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami, it's said about him, whilst he was journeying for those 12 days, it said hunger was not an impediment because he was absorbed in thoughts of seeing Lord Chaitanya. So how was it possible for someone to do it? Because he was fully Krishna conscious, because he was absorbed in the thought, I must see Lord Chaitanya. He was just, that's all he was thinking of. So he was hungry. He didn't even notice he was hungry. You know, perhaps at a point, so painful, I'd better eat something, swallow something, you know. But that's how we can also do that, by regularly hearing, by becoming Krishna conscious. Renunciation will come. We don't try it, put the cart before the horse. Try to become renounced. That's not our process. Gritting our teeth, somehow or another, giving everything up. That's tough. You're going to fail, unless you're Krishna conscious. So try to become Krishna conscious. Try to hear. And that will be your advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I'll pause there. It's 8:40. A few minutes if anyone has any points or questions that they'd like.